Do you feel like you keep living the same year over and over again? Do you often enter a new year thinking, this will be the year that I fill in the blank. This will be the year that things change. Only to get to the end of the year and nothing has changed? And then wondering where the year went? That used to be me. Until I created a process that got me out of that loop. That helped me create and live the life and experiences that my soul was craving. I invite you to join me on January 25th in a virtual ceremony where I'll guide you through the exact process I used for 10 years and that I am returning to this year after doing the deepest healing work of my life after my son Greg went to spirit in 2019. I've expanded and enhanced the process, and I'll share it all with you in the 2024 Illumination Circle. This is something you can do at any point in the year. So join me live and you'll receive the recording and the journal so that you can go back through this process again anytime you need to. But I ask you now, what is your soul craving? Go to www.lorilatimer.com/2024-circle. Those are the numerals 2024-circle to sign up today. It is my deepest honor to share this with you, and I look forward to seeing you there. We don't do resolutions here. We do creation. Welcome back to another Cosmic Connections episode of Grief with Grace. Today, I want to take you on a little tour of the cosmos, a little home tour, let's call it that. So let's go. Welcome to Grief with Grace, the podcast for women healing from loss, trauma, and grief, or who know there's more to life but aren't sure what it is or where to find it. Whatever brought you here, you are not alone. I'm your hostess, Lori Latimer, soul navigator, mystic, intuitive, bereaved mom, and grief and trauma guide. Recreating my own life after a divorce in 2008 and going on to create and live a life I'd only dreamed of after that, I found myself on a new healing journey after my 29-year-old son unexpectedly left this life in January of 2019. So I invite you to grab a journal, a cup of tea, light a candle and get cozy, and allow yourself to be seen, held, soothed, and inspired on your journey to wholeness. Blending the practical with the spiritual, each week my guests and I will inspire you to connect with who you are at soul level so you can find moments of joy in the everyday. Because even on the darkest days, there is joy if you know how and where to look for it. You know, if you've ever looked at your astrological birth chart or any astrological birth chart, it can be a bit overwhelming at first. There are numbers, there are lines, there are weird looking symbols. It truly is like a foreign language. And I've talked a lot about the signs of the zodiac, as well as the various planets in relation to things that are going on at any given moment in time, like the moon is in Aries or Pluto is in Aquarius. But today I want to go a layer deeper and talk about the sections of the birth chart, because the birth chart, when you look at it, it's a circle and it has lines through it, like kind of like a pizza or a pie when you cut a pizza into slices or a pie. So what do all these slices mean? When you're looking at the wheel, close to the very center of the wheel are numbers, and the numbers represent the astrological houses. And so if you think of the wheel like a clock, we start in astrology, when you're looking at the houses, we start at what would be 9 o'clock on a clock. That's considered the first house in astrology. And then you continue around the clock counterclockwise from the first house through the 12th house. Now, I'm going to keep this very simple for you, so don't worry, because as always, I will make this very understandable. But just to understand that you have 12 sections of this pie, and each section represents a house. But what are the houses? Well, again, they're another layer of things that we can learn about ourselves when we look at our birth charts, or when an astrologer looks at your birth chart and deciphers it or translates it for you. Again, it's like a foreign language and you do need a translator. But first we have the astrological signs. We're all familiar with, say, our sun sign. Those are the archetypes that identify personality traits and behaviors that we express in our lives.
They're how we do something or the way we do something, the way we're kind of programmed to behave in. I mean, that's just one facet of our personality, but it's a really important facet, as I have learned the more I have studied karmic astrology. Then we have the planets or other placements like asteroids. Those represent various energies that are being expressed in our lives. And then we have the houses. Now, houses are areas of life. They are they're various aspects of our human experience, from our innermost desires to our outward expressions. So we start with house one and go all the way around to house 12. And so you start with your innermost desires and personality traits and move all the way around the wheel to the outward expressions. And just like you have different rooms in your house, it's the same with the astrological houses. So for example, you don't cook in your bedroom, you cook in the kitchen. Each room in your home is designed for a certain area of your life. Well, the houses each represent a different area of our lives. You know, you can also think of it, I've heard it described by various mentors that I've had, as a play. And so the planets are the actors. The signs are the roles that the actors or the planets are playing. And the houses are the different settings for the play. So one time you might be outside in a group, or another time you might be inside contemplating or having your own personal experience. So that's why you can look at this also as a play. But again, in this episode, I want to talk about the houses, because this is something that I have not touched on at all in any of my episodes. I've kept it just to talking about the planets and the signs. And you might be wondering why this matters when you're on a healing journey. Well, it really is a very important part of understanding ourselves at soul level and in our healing. It helps us look at why we do certain things, why we react in certain ways. And it's another thing to look at. And that's, I mean, that's astrology, karmic astrology overall. But looking at the houses is just another piece to look at as far as what works for each of us individually when we've been through trauma, loss, illness, grief. What does having Pluto in your fourth house represent or mean for you versus having Pluto in your ninth house, for example? I'm not going to get that granular in this. I'm simply going to explain the different areas of life that are represented by the houses, so that when I talk in the future about different cosmic events, you can go look at your birth chart to see what area of life is being impacted, or you could get a reading from someone, me, another astrologer, and gain a deeper understanding of it. So as I go through each house, keep in mind what I mentioned a minute ago, that we start with the first house and we work our way around. But the first house is our most innermost world or personality traits. And as we work our way around, we get to the outermost parts of ourselves, how we express ourselves out in the world. But keep in mind that the first six houses are really reflective of the self. And then houses 7 through 12 are more about the other, again, about how we relate to other people in the world, out in the world. So self versus other to complete the whole. So starting at the beginning with the first house, you always want to start at the beginning, right? What was that? Do Re Mi in The Sound of Music, my probably all-time favorite movie. So the first house, this is also called our rising sign because it's the sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the exact moment and place of our birth. So at its essence, this house represents our identity. It's how we perceive the world and how the world perceives us. Although we don't often see this in ourselves, we don't always see ourselves this way. It's about taking action. It's about leadership. It's our outward personality. It's how people perceive us. But it's where our journey begins. And then as we move into the second house, we encounter matters related to things like wealth, possessions, self-worth. Here, we really explore our values, our financial habits, our resources, reflecting on what truly holds value in our lives. It's about our physical safety and security. It's our material world and what we require to feel safe and secure in this life, on this planet, in this world. Next up is the third house. Now, this is the house of communication and intellect. It governs our thoughts, our speech, our interactions with our immediate environment, including our siblings, our neighbors, and like local travel, short trips. So really our neighborhood. It's also about our thought process, how we learn, how we communicate. It's also how we listen and how we share information. So it's the mental realm. Now, the fourth house is associated with our roots, our home, and our family growing up. This is where we find our emotional foundation, exploring themes of things like our ancestry, our heritage, our lineage, and the nurturing aspects of life. It's where we can really find our generational patterns. It's also about the nurturing that we received as a small child, usually from our mother. So the fourth house is often connected to the mother, but it could have been your father or a father figure if that was your primary caregiver. But it's, again, it's all about who nurtured us and how we were nurtured as a child. And so the fourth house really reflects our deep emotions, our subconscious, our emotional security, and what we require for self-care. Now, moving along to the fifth house, this is the realm of creativity, romance, and self-expression. Here, we really uncover our passions, our hobbies, our artistic endeavors, as well as our capacity for joy and love. This is a really playful house. It's the house of romance and pleasure, passion, play, imagination. It's the house of the heart. Heart healing, heart connection. It's also about children and our relationship to children, which fits because it's also the house of play. It also tells us about our relation to self-esteem and self-confidence. Now, in the sixth house, we encounter themes of things like health, service, our daily routines. This governs our work ethic, our habits, our overall well-being, kind of reminding us of the importance of balance and self-care, how we serve others, how we bring ideas that we have from the ethers, from the cosmos, down into the material world. It's about organization and practicality, as well as things like self-improvement and purpose. And it's the house of refinement and perfectionism. Now, as we venture into, so those were the first six houses. Those were all about us. Now we're going to start talking about how we really present ourselves and relate to the outside, with the outside world, with people outside of our families and outside of ourselves. So as we venture into the seventh house, we delve into partnerships, relationships, and this whole concept of the other, that there is more to this life than just us and our close family, our close community, our neighbors, again, our siblings, cousins. This domain reflects our approach to cooperation, marriage, and one-on-one connections, really, really urging us to seek harmony and equality in our interactions. It's about, because the seventh house really likes balance and harmony. It's about marriage, as I mentioned, but also business partnerships. It's how you partner. It's what you require in partnerships. It's also about things like collaborations and intimacy. Again, how we relate to other people. Now, the eighth house is often associated with transformation, intimacy. Yes, I mentioned the seventh house, but also the eighth house at a deeper level, intimacy and shared resources. So whereas the second house was about our own money, the eighth house is about shared resources, including financial resources, inheritance, things like that. Sharing your finances with another, if you're in partnership with another, whether it's marriage, living with someone, or a business partnership. But here is where we confront our deepest fears. We delve into the psychological depths. We explore matters of things like trust and power and regeneration. It's also about sexuality and taboo topics like the occult. It's about unresolved karma, shadow work, power and powerlessness, and death and rebirth. Next, so it's often considered the sign of the phoenix rising from the ashes. Next is the ninth house, the realm of things like higher learning, philosophy, religion, spirituality. And this area encourages us to really expand our horizons, seek truth, and embark on journeys of exploration, both physical and metaphysical. It's about really expanding your mind and your beliefs. So it does include long distance and foreign travel, deeper wisdom and deeper knowledge, higher learning, higher education, but also things like freedom and adventure, wisdom. It's really about quests, both physical quests and travel, as well as quests for higher knowledge and truth, seeking deeper meaning and knowledge. So you see, I hope you're seeing how we are getting further and further away from just ourselves as a being on this planet, and looking further and further out. We're all the way out to the higher learning, the higher knowledge now. And then as we approach the 10th house, we encounter themes of things like career, ambition, and our public image. This is where we strive for success and recognition, societal standing, shaping our aspirations and our legacy in the world. That's the biggest thing to me about the 10th house, is it's about our legacy. It's about reputation, achievements, entrepreneurship. So again, it's really about, along with legacy, the other thing that I really connect with the 10th house is our destiny. It's our destiny. It represents our destiny and our legacy. And then the 11th house is known as the house of community, friendships, our aspirations. This area reflects our social circles, group affiliations, long-term goals, reminding us of really the power of collective endeavors, collective collaborations, and shared dreams. It's really about the collective. It's about creating change to better humanity and the collective. And it's also about things like technology and social media. It's about breaking the norms. It's about liberation and trying new things and creating new things that will help the collective. Again, technology, social media are perfect examples. It's also about the collective conscious and the collective unconscious. And it's about our hopes and our dreams and our visions, our vision for a better future for the world, for ourselves and our families and humanity as a whole. And then finally, we reach the 12th house. This is the realm of the subconscious, of spirituality, of deep solitude and reflection. And so this is where we really confront our deepest fears. You know, we started with the 8th house, but now we really dive into our deepest fears, our karmic patterns, the unseen forces that shape our lives, that really urge us to do that deep soulful reflection and embrace introspection and surrender to the mysteries of the universe. The 12th house is really about spiritual consciousness, about transcendence. It's the subconscious mind. It's dreams and fantasies, illusions and imagination. It's how we escape the reality of life. But it's also about deep empathy, deep healing, our psychic and our intuitive gifts. I think I mentioned deep self-reflection and solitude and soul work. So why this is important is so that you understand that there is this other piece to what I talk about in these episodes. So let me think of an example. When I talk about things like a full moon in Virgo or the solar eclipse that we just had in Aries, we have to look to see where Virgo or Aries are in our own personal charts. And then which house the full moon or the eclipse or whatever event it is happening in, to see what area of life that particular or any particular cosmic event will impact you. That's why the houses are such a key component of astrology and karmic astrology. So when I talk about a solar eclipse, Pluto in Aquarius, I'm talking for humanity as a collective in general, but then in a reading, in a karmic soul reading, we can look at specific events. We can look backward at specific events in your life to see, well, what was going on a particular day? And I'll use myself as an example. I have looked a lot at my chart on the day that my son went to spirit to see where were the planets on that day. What house of mine in my chart were they in? Where was Pluto on the day Greg went to spirit? Where was Saturn on the day my son went to spirit? What house were they in? And how do they relate to where the planets were on the day I was born? There's so much information and so much, so much peace and acceptance that comes from doing this. Because when I look at it, and it was only a few weeks ago when I started looking at the solar, the upcoming lunar and solar eclipses that we just had, that I started looking at previous eclipses. And when I saw that there was a total, or that not a total, but a new moon solar eclipse on the day Greg went to spirit. And when I looked at where that happened in my chart, the house it happened in, and when I looked at what it was connecting to in my birth chart, it made so much of what happened make sense from a whole new level and brought me a piece of like resolution. And again, calm. And again, as a mother, I'll never like it. As a human being, I'll never like it. I can't change it though. So if I can look at it from this higher perspective, and that's what I love to help my clients do in a reading, is take a specific day in their life, a significant event, and see what was going on in the cosmos on that day to help give them a sense of acceptance, surrender. Okay, I see now. For me, it was the ultimate wake-up call. And looking at my chart, I understand that now. So that is what I have for you this episode. I hope this gives you another perspective on things that happen in the universe and how they really affect us here on Earth. It's really magical to watch it play out. And also, if you look at your birth chart and you have some houses that don't have any planets in them, that's okay. There may be asteroids in there. There may truly be nothing in there, and that's okay. In fact, most people have a house or two or more that don't have any planets in them. That's a different conversation. So if you would like to schedule a karmic soul astrology reading, I'll leave the link in the show notes, but you can go to tinyurl.com/karmic-soul-reading. If you're interested in looking at your life and your chart on a specific day, when you sign up for the reading, put the date, the full date, the month, the day, and the year in, and tell me what the event was, whether it was a marriage, a death, a job change, a natural disaster, whatever it is. And I'm happy to look at that and help you understand it from a different perspective so that, again, you can get a new level of acceptance and then maybe see what it is that your soul wants you to grow through or evolve to as a result of that experience. So, all right, that's all I have. And as always, until next time, I am sending you so much love, light, beauty, and grace.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Grief with Grace. Please be sure to like our Grief with Grace podcast Facebook page and find me on Instagram at @Lori_Latimer. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you receive a reminder when new episodes are uploaded. And please leave a rating and review so I can continue to bring you new content and new interviews each week. If you find this podcast valuable, and I really hope you do, please be sure to share it with a woman who could use some inspiration in her life and on her journey. Until next time, I invite you to find a moment of joy today and every day.